the 24% who experienced a fall, 9% at least had one fall with major injury. Research has shown also that falls can lead up to 50 to 65% of residents with fear that impacts both their social and functional activities. The proposed measure is based on the MDS 3.0 item J19C, number of falls with major injury. Rand examined the agreement between the facility assessors and the gold standard nurses, as well as the compared the responses between the peers of gold standard nurses. And the reliability of the MDS 3.0 item was substantially better than that of the analogous MDS 2.0 item, which is fell in past 30 days. The MDS 3.0 item, the gold standard versus facility nurse kappa, was 0.945, and the gold standard versus gold standard kappa, 0.967. For the MDS, and there was a report in 2001 by App, the kappa was 0.66, and kappa was a report of 0.66 by John Morris, and a kappa of 0.638 reported by App in 2001. So essentially, with the MDS 2.0 items, they had a checkoff list, check all that apply, and it was fell in the past 30 days, fell in the past 31 to 181 days. The 3.0 measure has a checkoff that says since prior, well, it addresses falls since prior assessment, and then the categories are no injury, minor injury, and then falls with major injury. So this is a proposed new measure to track for the long stay residents major falls with major injury.
Reviewer on this?
Yeah, I was the primary reviewer on this. I agree with the importance of the thing in terms of the scientific validity and reliability. I gave it a partial, and also same for the usability and feasibility. And my secondary also agrees that. Basically, you know, this can be recommended, you know, for adoption. I hope there's another typo. It's a time-tested recommendations from the vendor. However, there are a few issues, you know, which needs to be looked at. Mm-hmm. In terms of the title itself, as my personal feeling is that it should be both minor and major. Because the MDS-3 actually now is categorizing injury into no injury, minor, and major. So rather than just major alone, it should be both minor and major. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing was the duration of looking back. You know, I think it says like 12 months, but I think some of the new guidelines, including some of the ACOB guidelines, memory for falls is short. So I think it'll be better if it is just last 6 months. It would be a good time frame. To assess, particularly if you're looking for long stay because mm-hmm. of the nature of the problem and mm-hmm. risk factors and no easy answers in terms of interventions. And one other thing I felt was in terms of the scientific validity that one should look at the most recent guidelines coming out, the consensus guidelines from the American Geriatric Society, the British Geriatric Society, and the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. One of the key things, actually, they're trying to separate is the typical geriatric syndrome of falls, as we know. In the definition, they're actually very specific, because I was at a meeting a couple of years in England. They're talking about delineating these falls, which have a history, which I have a known or witnessed loss of consciousness. Because your whole line of thinking for a geriatric fall is very different if there is a loss of consciousness. So that needs to be looked at before we sort of recommend it fully. Because your whole line of assessment and interventions and is very different because of the other typical medical causes which are associated with loss of consciousness, like syncope and seizure disorders and others, which are not in the typical syndrome of geriatric fall. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be, I would say that if those things are addressed, it will be like a Category 2 recommendation with these modifications and clarifications and refining. Darlene, would you like to comment on the second reviewer?
Thank you. Under the scientific availability of the measure properties, one of the things that is, this is one of the first one where apparently it's going to be looking over, according to the numerator, 12 months worth of MDSs. So for each resident, it's going to be able to go over anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6 different MDSs to look for that particular injury or major injury, which is a little bit different than what we currently usually are doing, looking at current to prior or something, but not sitting there saying for every resident there's 4 to 6 chances that they might actually have had this injury in the last 12 months. Secondly, just a definition of major injury. CMS did a good job last week in the training to indicate that the definition you described is includes, which means it's not an all-inclusive list, and I don't think anybody could write down an all-inclusive list of major injuries. So you run into the validity of what I consider to be a major injury for a resident and what somebody else might consider to be a major injury for a resident. Mm-hmm. So the coding could have some issues in and of its own right. The issue under the stratification where long-stay resident facilities with fewer than 30 residents are excluded because of the small sample size. If we're going back a year, in which case we're also including discharge assessments, we need to look and see if over the period of an entire year would a facility not have 30 long-stay residents. Mm-hmm. Because currently when we look at them, we're not looking over the course of an entire year and gathering a year's worth of discharges. And that's where that added that in, adding those discharges. I'm still in two. One of the biggest issue falls under the summary of the evidence supporting the exclusion where the TEP indicated that because a comatose patient, due to their physiological state, cannot actually fall, they recommend that to exclude that population of comatose patients. If you look at the definition of a fall, according to how we answer the MDS, it's an unintentional change in position, coming to rest on the ground floor or onto the next lower surface. If I am transferring a comatose patient and the lift is going to die and I'm going to put them on the floor, that is a fall. It's a fall for a non-comatose patient. An assisted fall is a fall. So therefore, why if I drop a comatose patient, it's not a fall. But if I drop a cognitively impaired patient who's not comatose, it is a fall. So there's a big flaw in the elimination of comatose patients just because they cannot fall on their own. So I agree that the scientific specifications are partially met. As it relates to usability, again, I think because of the issues and the definitions and the fact that it hasn't been tested because this is new, that I also consider that to be partially met. With regard to feasibility, we do have the electronic transmission of the MDS, so again, the only issue is going to be is if the data is going to be accurate due to the fact that it's not a concrete definition, so you could have a wide swing. You're also going to find in nursing centers that should a facility receive a citation from a state survey because they failed to identify something as a major injury in the eyes of the surveyors, you're going to see that pendulum swing where they're going to err on the side of calling more stuff major injuries than they are, or others will swing the other way. So I feel there's an issue with that as well. Partially, yeah.
I get the feeling, Arvid, that you were recommending that minor injuries also be included?
Yes. I mean, when I think it should be both one or more falls with both minor and major injury. Because this is a new categorization in the MDS-3. Mm-hmm. In the past, it was not there. And I really makes sense, in terms of delineating the two, but that doesn't mean that we should not look at the fall, overall.
for
so Darlene,
measure
what is
five
Darlene?
Is that exactly?
The major, the minor includes abrasions and bruises and some of the soft tissue injuries, and the major is.
But there's another and or any fall related injury that causes the resident to complain of pain.
Right.
Yep.
The pain is not there.
Yeah, it is.
That's in the definition in the manual.
So it should be then. We should have some more. We should then specify minor and major, right?
But 005 is all
we have to.
Yes.
Measure 005 is all documented patient falls with an injury level of minor or greater. So that would be exactly what you're. That is another measure.
That's why I wanted to.
So you're asking that you eliminate this measure.
No. That's why we want to discuss together. But there's the different organizations, you know, who have actually proposed this. That's why we're discussing it separately.
Yeah. Just so you know, the process is we're going to vote since there are two roughly competing measures. We're going to vote each measure up or down. Not talking about the two measures. If they both pass, then we have a discussion about voting between the two measures. But let's just vote right now, if you can. Think of that we only have one measure before us. We're going to set this aside. Then we're going to take, as if we've not talked about falls before, and do another measure. So there, the voting is independent of the fact that we have another measure out there.
So could some clarification about why the measured steward did not include minor?
Yes. During our TEP, in looking at the development of this being a new measure, again, they decided to take a more conservative approach. So certainly falls with major injury was a step in the right, you know, direction. However, to hold off on reporting all falls with minor injuries. So it was the thought that with the implementation of the MDS 3.0 and gathering more data, perhaps that we would revisit it. And the reason for the 12 months, even though we would look back on the quarter, was again given the statistics to make sure that we would have enough of to be able to actually report the measure at a facility level.
Let me just throw a little monkey wrench into this. This is very interesting, but when you look at the literature of falls prevention, there's nothing in the literature to suggest that it's possible to differentiate between an injurious and a non-injurious fall. The goal of falls prevention is to prevent, therefore, all falls. We cannot focus on preventing injurious falls. Mm-hmm. So it's in essence, whether you're counting all falls, whether you're counting minor or greater injury falls, or whether you're counting major injury falls, your intervention is not going to change. Your intervention is still going to be to prevent as many falls as you can. So as we're discussing the differences between these two, I think that's something to keep in mind. I'm not quite sure what was the point of measuring only falls with major injuries.
Just a question, and it might be to you, Robert. Does it seem like the data for major injury falls are going to have a different reliability, perhaps, than falls where no one was hurt?
Well, a falls with major injury, first of all, I would expect it to be fairly small. I don't know how that varies from state to state, from institution to institution, but I would assume it's very small. But more importantly than that, I don't know how you affect that without preventing all falls in general anyway.
Agreed. I'm actually just wondering if the reason that the MDS-3 and this measure seem to make a distinction is because it's kind of hard to hide a broken bone. It's actually in version 3. It's there. As three different categories. I hypothesize because the data is more reliable when you have a broken bone. It's hard to hide that.
Well, I think what Robert mentioned before was this may be the number issue, because certainly the numbers for fracture and head injuries will be a lot smaller, And I think that may be the reason they thought of a 12-month period as well. If that was the thinking behind it, then really, you know, it has to be tested, and it really makes sense. But I just want to say both 8 and 5 are really talking about, as you're saying, is risk factor assessment and intervention. However, maybe 4, which is patient fall rate, may deal with the prevention aspects. You know, there are two parts to it as well. Mm-hmm. So I think both 8 and basically 8 deals with the risk assessment and intervention, I suppose, as a measure.
Mm-hmm. And I, Alice Bell, there is one component still, though, where data is being collected in terms of injurious falls as it relates to hip fractures and things like hip protectors and calcium and vitamin D. And so potentially, although we don't have all that information yet, there is potentially a distinction between major injury specifically as it relates to fracture and minor injury. So that's just one point.
That's what I was going to add, is that, again, as you've seen throughout the measures that we've presented, we're trying to take a conservative approach where there is good systematic information rather than subjective definitions of things. And for a major injury, that can be defined based on the ICD-9 code. So there's a good, solid, scientifically-based definition of that.
I'm trying to think of how this is going to assist facilities and improvement efforts, and what is this going to mean when publicly reported. I mean, obviously, a facility that has a higher number of major injuries is going to be looked at unfavorably by the public, no doubt about that. But I'm trying to understand what these measures will actually mean to the institution and how actionable are they. So why? I understand, so far as the specificity and the definitions makes it easier to look at major injuries versus minor injuries, and certainly looking at all injuries rather than all falls, especially if you have the low bed to floor mat falls, which are still falls, but planned falls. But I'm trying to figure out exactly what is the point of this measure, what will we do with it, and you know, how will facilities respond to it, other than looking at facilities that have that are outliers, which are problematic. And is there any research, I mean, is there any research looking at variability among institutions with major injuries and how that relates to their total numbers of falls or other measures?
And there's some evidence, actually, number of falls doesn't matter. It's just ultimately is the major injury. And I think that information on falls will be captured in the denominator. So even if we are only looking at major injury, we do have the number of falls for that particular facility. So that has to be seen in relation to the total falls, which is creating a new specific quality measure, because as you know, there may be underreporting or overreporting of falls in nursing homes. Overreporting is not always bad, as long as there's a process and plan in place. The bottom line may be just the major injury. So that will be a reflection. You know, if you can look at the denominator and the major injuries, you get a fair idea of what is happening in a nursing facility.
We just want to clarify, the denominator is all patients?
All falls.
No, all patients.
It's all patients. Oh, I beg your pardon. Then it should be all falls, really, you know. That will be a better measure of quality as compared to all patients.
I agree with that, because when you're looking at falls meaning lowered to the floor or any lower surface, which really, to me, isn't a fall, but it is a fall by definition. And the ones where you have the low bed and they roll out of bed and there's absolutely no injury, but yet we have to count that. It just, you know, and then you have facilities that don't use any of those mechanisms that many of us use. And yet we have, because they do roll out of bed and we don't have them restrained with side rails, it seems like we get dinged because if we have them restrained and they don't fall, then that's okay. But if we have them in a low bed without a restraint with the mat and they roll out of bed, then we get dinged.
So I'm starting to hear a number of discussions like we're a fall TEP expert group trying to design our own fall measure. Okay. That, to me, is a sign that we may want to have – we have some concerns about the measure since that, or at least the information that's been presented to us about the measure. So we may want to start thinking about how we want to formulate some vote or recommendation on it if we're – and once you start – I mean, we're not talking about just minor modifications here. We're talking about major changes in this measure. And when we talk about major changes, then we're into the measurement development process, and we weren't hired, and your bonuses won't be tied to designing new measures out of this group. Yeah.
You know, I don't think this is the be-all and end-all of fall measures. I mean, it probably isn't the only fall measure we need, but I think that it's a very interesting and relevant measure. If I were a facility, I'd want to know if I were an outlier on that. If I were looking for a facility for myself, I would want to know what the falls were. So, I mean, I think while there could be different measures, I think that there's nothing wrong with this measure.
But is that the information you're really going to get? Is that the information the public is going to get from this measure? Or is it going to get the number of all those low bed rollouts, all those lowered to the to a lower surface?
This is a major injury.
I think the confusion is this is only a major injury one. We talked about maybe we should add others in, but is there
ambiguity about this measure, or is there ambiguity when we start adding things into the numerator that aren't in this measure? Notwithstanding that some people think we should do that, is there ambiguity about this measure, which measures the percentage of essentially a rough percentage of people who fall and are badly harmed in ways that are easily documented? Sorry.
There wasn't ambiguity. There was ambiguity for me until if you made the qualifier in terms of process, that you just consider this on a standalone. At the beginning, I was thinking about, well, considering this vis-a-vis the other three that we've got, well, and that's not what we're supposed to do. And that removed the ambiguity.
Well, actually, not the other three measures. I'm talking at least the other fall injury measure. So this is number 8 and number 5. Yeah.
Well,
I just want to just add that I worry from a quality of life standpoint with this one in terms of, I think about the residents who you're trying to grant wishes who really want to be ad lib in their own room and have that ability, but all of a sudden have a tragic fall because of that wish. And knowing that at times, like Kathleen said, what would happen is organizations might go to that restraint for some reason or alarm because of that just makes me cringe a bit. But so one of my thoughts is whether or not we move to test this but not do the public reporting.
I recommend we move post-haste to get a restraint measure.
We have one.
It's later in the agenda.
Yeah, I concur with that. I think it can be tested as long as it's not public, because it'll skew the data and it may speak, as we heard before, on some very good facilities but very bad just because they had few fractures, you know.
All right, so what I'm hearing is a wide range of opinions. The vendors asked for, because it's a new measure and it's based on MDS with some additional reliability testing hopefully to come from it, that this be a measure that's time-limited. What I heard was two things that we would like, maybe some conditions on the time-limited would be at least exploring the issue of redefining the numerator to include minor in there, as well as the issue of what it means if you excluded comatose and, you know, how many comatose are in there. Is it meaningful? Maybe the comatose is so small it's insignificant exclusion and we're, you know, arguing anything else, but it may be that
it's not so much the comatose patient. It's the definition that you can drop a comatose patient and doesn't count.
Okay.
If you drop anybody else, it does.
So I think those would be the two conditions that I've heard so far with this. I have a feeling we're going to come back and take a bite at this apple with the two different measures out there. Yes.
Judy Tobin from CMS. I just wanted to offer one other reason why we would want to separate out major injury from minor injury. One, with a rehab population where you may have falls and non-injurious, but with major injury as well, as CMS, we would want to be able to look at those because there's a whole sequelae that can occur afterwards. You have a major fall, you have a fracture, now somebody's catheterized, a UTI, and they go into a set. I mean, there's a whole sequelae that can occur, and you can be talking about very different scenarios. So we would make the case that we would not include minor injuries in this fall.
So I think the condition is not that we're saying they have to be combined. We just wanted the vendor to look at the data and give us more data on why you would or wouldn't combine it and what it would look like with the two combined. I think that's the condition we're looking at. So, again, it would be a provision. It's a time-limited approval with feedback to address the question about should minor and major be combined together, why they should or shouldn't, and the removing of the comatose as an exclusion of that. That would be what our recommendation would be like. That's what we're sort of voting on. There's a lot of differing opinions out there. Do you want to comment on that before we vote?
Yeah, I'm not clear what we're voting on. I mean, we're voting.
You're voting to address.
What is it? Address.
You're
saying address adding the implications of adding minor injuries. I mean, I personally am against asking them to do anything about minor injuries. I think we should take this measure
as it is.
If I can add something, I'm, you know, reading this for the first time and, you know, trying to figure out. We mentioned it before. Having not read this before, it's hard to become familiar with it very quickly. But according to the summary of evidence, it says 1,800 people living in nursing homes die each year from falls. About 10% to 20% of nursing home falls cause serious injury. 2% to 6% cause fractures. So that percentage, I mean, if it's 10 to 20%, that's a significant enough number that it should show up fairly consistently if data is gathered. And I suspect that the reason that this measure is being considered is because there is variation in the way falls are defined from institution to institution, even though there is a CMS definition of what a fall is. And to measure all falls, which I think would be the best way to go, is logistically difficult because of that fact. So this is sort of a proxy measure meant to indicate the quality of an institution's falls prevention program. Whether or not it works, I don't know, because I don't know whether it's been correlated as such. But if that's the case, then it may make sense to restrict it to major injuries. But I have to defer to the developers to see whether that's correct or not.
Yes, again, this was something that was debated at the TEP, and the thought was, given it's a new measure, to take a conservative approach and examine the falls with major injury. Also, in regards to the usability, based on the literature, although there's a little bit of mixed results, the thought was that many patients actually come into a nursing facility because they've been falling at home and they can't live independently. And there should be, there's sort of a multi-interventional approach that you can utilize to take a look, for example, at their cardiovascular medications, their history of falling, think about physical therapy, occupational therapy, to help them improve their balance and their gait to prevent falls. So that's what we had in mind in developing the measure.
So I, I, I think, go ahead, Tori.
One thing I think that some people are forgetting, this is a long-stay measure, so until the resident's been in the building for 100 days, they're not going to be counted in, and you're absolutely right, you do get residents that come to the facility because they fall a lot at home, but hopefully within those first 100 days, we might be able to handle that, although it is going, it does make you go back and look in time. So I think some of the short stay people aren't going to show up in this measure anyways, and that 100 days does give us some time to work on the residents that come in that will eventually be long stay residents.
So let me clarify to Dee Dee's comment that we're not asking them to change. This is to ask us to go back to their TEP or give us some more information as to, you know, the pros and cons of why they may or may not merge the two together. That would be it. So it's a time-limited approval for as defined with the question to them, what would it look like or why would it be? Because we're not all fall experts around the table, but they have a TEP and they have a process to come back and say that we had questions about why they shouldn't combine the two. They may come back and say we want two separate measures that complement each other. I don't know. Whatever. But it will give them an opportunity to come back. Plus the issue with the comatose, and ask them to go back and revisit the understanding the definition of MDS and the logic behind it. And so that's really what we're asking them to do. You okay with that? Okay. So voting in favor of that issue? Okay. All opposed? I want to say restrained. I mean abstaining.
That's coming.
Okay. So can we have ANA up to hear about your measure?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Hello. I'm Isis Montalvo, the director of the National Center for Nursing Quality. And the question that I have for clarification, are we doing falls and then falls with injury or just falls with injury initially?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
It's okay.
I was having a sidebar conversation.
We have two measures proposed, falls and then falls with injury. Should we do one and then the other sequentially?
Let's do falls with injury, and then I have a feeling we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back.
Okay. And I also have Dr. Nancy Dutton on the phone, who's our technical expert with our measures. This particular measure
Can we just clarify, we're talking about 005?
Yeah, we're talking about 005.
Check in. This is Neil Winger.
This particular measure is not a new measure. Oh, it
just,
isn't.
Just a second. What?
Somebody's talking on the phone.
Scott. I was just trying to check.
I don't know. None of us heard anything. You're hallucinating, Bruce. We need a break. Is somebody, you know?
There's somebody who's trying to, I think, communicate with us right now, but they're not speaking very loudly, or we can't hear them.
Nancy, are you on the phone?
If we hold hands and think stronger, we'll get the voice come through.
Someone from RAND is on the phone as well.
Right. We've been holding.
Okay.
Could you identify yourself, whoever's on the phone?
Neil Winger and also Carol Roth.
Neil, you're on a different measure, not 005, are you?
No, we were 003.
So you have to wait a little bit, Neil. Is that okay? You're 3 hours behind us, so you can wait. Are you guys stuck? Neil, are you stuck? Are you able to wait, or do we need to take you ahead of schedule?
When do you think you might take us so that we can rearrange?
We will take you. What's your measure on?
003.
Physical therapy. We want to do this 005 right now because it links in with the previous discussion. Then we can take your measure. Well, we were thinking, I don't know if we're going to take a break after this either. But if you're time pressed, we can slide you in now.
Well, no. If you tell us when, we can try to get back on.
4:45 our time, so that'll be 1:45 your time.
Okay. I don't know, Carol, if that's possible for you. But
yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Sorry, Neil.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Nancy, you're still on the phone?
I am. Yes, thank you.
Okay. This particular measure is not a new NQF-endorsed measure. falls with injury. And in fact, this was well tested in the acute care setting and actually went before the Mental Health Steering Committee, who recommended that it be considered for other measure for other settings due to the harmonization focus for NQF measures and to provide consistency across settings related to definitions. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Nancy related to our criterion.
Thank you. The falls with injury measure, the definition is the number of falls with injuries of minor or greater per 1,000 resident days. It meets the importance criterion because falls is a national priority partnership priority. It affects large numbers of residents in long-term care settings, with some studies showing as many as 2.5 falls per person per year, of which 10 to 20% result in injury, functional decline, and other sequelae. There is variation across settings in the rates of falls, and there's been established in the research literature a relationship to their staffing. In terms of scientific acceptability, the measure is well specified with a precise definition of a numerator and a denominator and inclusion and exclusion criteria, and it is risk stratified by setting type. We have not conducted a validity or reliability studies in the long-term care arena, but we have done so in the care setting with criterion validity with as measured by sensitivity and specificity around 90%. It is the case, as we've been discussing, that not all fall situations are clear, and the measure specifications say that to determine the actual injury level, residents should be followed for 24 hours to determine injury level if it's not immediately apparent. Falls are being publicly reported for acute care settings at the state and federal level. They're used by many many care settings, quality improvement programs. The data come from incident reports, which are supplemented with training on data collection guidelines, and falls include both assisted and non-assisted. And that's sort of my...
Nancy, can you repeat that? There was a breakup, and we're having a hard time hearing you.
In terms of feasibility, the data are captured by incident reports and will be by, it's the new common format incident report, or broadly. The data reliability of the data is supported by specific data collection guidelines and training, and we collect in falls and injurious falls both, both falls that are assisted and those that are not assisted. And that's sort of the summary of the scientific acceptability as well as important from the documentation that was submitted to National Quality Forum.
Hey, Dr. Mawadal, you were the primary reviewer.
Yeah, thank you. I think just like the previous case for the injury, of course, the importance and the description of measure was includes minor and major. And I think for scientific validity and reliability for the issues we heard in terms of lack of data, my assessment was partial. Same for the usability and feasibility. There are many unknown answers there. The few things, you know, which had questions was were the calculation, you know, the numerator and the denominator. As we heard that they want to test it in different settings, you know, just not the nursing home, and how that needs to be modified in at home or in assisted living facilities or some other place. So those were the main questions. Of course, some of the data has been extrapolated from hospital settings and applied to the nursing home and other settings. So I think the vendor sort of recommends time limited endorsement, and I would agree with that, with some, of course, clarifications and modifications and refinements. And Robert, you want to comment?
I don't think it's feasible for nursing homes to gather data and report from incident reports. That's number one. I think we really have to rely on the MDS for any information, and the numerator and the exclusions, I think, are problematic. The numerator is falls with fall injury level of 2, minor or greater, but on MDS, the MDS J1900, it's B or C. So I'm not sure whether this really jibes with how it's worded on the MDS. Excluded populations, I understand excluding visitors and students. I haven't done an MDS lately on a visitor or a student, although, you know, I'm asked to do it. But an excluded population also is falls by patients from eligible reporting unit, however, patient was not on the unit at the time of the fall. Now, that may be that may make sense in a hospital, but that makes no sense in a nursing home, in which a fall, no matter where they fall, it's a fall, because we encourage them to be throughout the facility. So the numerator, I think, is problematic. The denominator is fine, patient days during the calendar month, but I think right off the bat, the fact that this is supposed to be gathered from incident reports and the way the numerator is defined, I don't think this is something that I would recommend go forward unless it were redefined.
This is Thomas Griebling. We were discussing there are some issues with the denominator. It appears this actually is based more on the inpatient acute hospital settings rather than long-term care or nursing home.
I also have some concern about measuring it by units, because I don't believe we have the capability right now with the MDS to determine, you know, where things are happening. We just know it's happening in the nursing home.
In terms of on the unit versus off the unit, was the intention for the developer, is it in the facility versus, say, they're going out of the facility with family or something like that, and they have a fall, to exclude those types of falls?
Yes, it would be if a patient were being transferred to a community setting, a doctor's appointment, something like that, those would be excluded according to this definition. But I agree that that falls in the therapy room, in the dining area, et cetera, those would be included.
I was wondering if the developer would have any comments on the fact that we have the MDS 3.0 with fall measures or fall items, and then what's being proposed as incident reports. Was that just an oversight, or could you see that it could be harmonized using a different measure?
Certainly, I think using the MDS is an option. This measure was submitted to be in harmony with measures in the acute care setting, as opposed to measures of other indicators in the long-term care setting. If it were to be measured through the MDS, you are correct that the specifications would have to change to reflect that source.
Any other questions or comments, or are we ready for a vote?
Oh, I just have a question. I mean, is there a movement among nursing homes to have a standardized incident report?
Every nursing home has a different format for the incident report. I mean, my own opinion is that we should be, for nursing home measures, we should use data sources which are currently collecting data. And I'm sure I know we and many facilities do collect data from incident reports and report them internally. But if we're going to be reporting nationally, I think we ought to use data sources which we all use uniformly.
And I'll just ask one more clarification of the developer, in because it sounded like you had been to the group with mental health who seemed to think this measure worked well for them. Do they also use incident reports, or what was their reaction to that?
So with the we do have, for example, the definition of psych units, and so when we had presented this to the mental health unit, the steering committee thought it was a good measure that could be applicable to other settings. For example, within the database that we manage, we also do have like long-term care units as an option within that setting. So it's, again, taking a look at different settings that could use that measure for harmonization so there's consistency. And perhaps the NQF staff might have something else to add.
The one thought that I had was, I don't know what the current status of the format is for incident reports, but it could lead to the standardization of reporting across the setting.
Right.
So that seems to be a long time, but the elements that are in the common format would support this.
I don't know that I wasn't at that meeting, but I assume the context was inpatient mental health facilities.
Psych
units within hospitals. So you're talking still about acute care hospitals, so that it's more consistent with how you're using it for the non-psychiatric units. So in terms of our approach on harmonization, or our interest in harmonization, is definitely to have measures that are consistent across settings. We've recognized that different data sources may require some differences, but what we would like to see we would need to look at in terms of if you're using MDS and the items on MDS, how and the measure in the hospital, how close can they get so that you can have the same interpretation? Not that at this stage that people have to change data sources. The future with electronic health records, we may get closer to having one measure that works across all settings in terms of the data items. Having said that, we're still very interested in having measures that have some consistency of interpretation across settings. So is a fall in this setting the same as a fall in another setting, and are we reporting on it in the same way?
Maybe on a related point, this is Bill. I'm too simplistic, but I think in terms of the harmonization issue, what's almost more compelling here is within the venue, not across venues. I think it would be problematic if we had multiple falls measures related to long-term care, but different data sources.
Yeah. Do you guys have any reliability testing on between facilities on incident reports, and also what's the reliability between incident reports and MDS? What do you gain by adding incident reports over the MDS?
We don't have the data related to comparing MDS and incident reporting, but we certainly have done validity and reliability studies related to incident reports across facilities. Nancy, can you speak to that?
Yes. We are just completing a study on a criterion validity study on a rating of incidents to whether they're a fall or not a fall across 600 units in acute care settings, and we looked at a group of experts as well as clinicians and identified their ability to identify a fall or an incident as a fall with a sensitivity and specificity above 90%. So there's high reliability around most the determination of most false areas.
Nancy, did you say that was in the acute care setting?
It is.
Have you done it in the long-term care setting?
We have not.
I just had a question.
The acute care setting, closest we get to long-term care is in the acute care setting. We also capture rehabilitation units, those facilities.
I have a question about the measure we looked at a moment ago only included falls with serious injuries. Your measure includes falls with minor injuries as well, so I was hoping you could speak to why you chose to use minor and major injuries. I also want to point out, I think at the beginning of this meeting we were told that this might be the last site-specific type meeting, and if we're going to try to transcend location and preserve our interest in harmonization, if other measures, you know, exist right now that cover minor and major injuries, if we pick one that only covers major injuries, we're going to be in disharmony, in a sense, with how these issues are being looked at in other settings. So I just want to throw that out there for something for us to think about. But I'd love to know why you included minor and serious injuries.
Yeah, Nancy can speak to the differences between the two.
Sure. We collect injury level of all falls so that we report them back to the hospitals for quality improvement purposes as none, minor, moderate, major, or death. Actually, we combine major and death because that's so rare in acute care settings. And so, of course, it would be burdensome or overly complicated to report all of those levels for use in public reporting. And so minor distinguishes something happened physiologically, which could have also had a psychological sequela. But other people pick major or moderate as cut points. So we concentrate on something happened to the patient that incurred extra costs. CMS is now not reimbursing hospitals for treatment of major injuries or those with resulting in some level of disability. So I can understand why there would be discussion around which injury level to report, but we capture whatever the injury level is. And, of course, the major injury and death rates are, even in hospitals, are extremely low. So the measure is somewhat more stable for care settings that have 20 or 30 patients in them, as in the wing of a long-term facility, if you include all injuries.
Maybe I was confused, or maybe I did some assumptions. When I read the numerator, it talks about minor injuries at a level 2. I'm just assuming that was off the MDS.
No, it's off the incident.
Okay, there it is.
They have a scale.
I got you. So that would be minor and major then, okay.
No, and it would require that facilities develop incident reports that have a level 2, 3, or whatever. I mean, I don't even recognize this. So I think that's why I think the feasibility is low.
Due to harmony, right? I mean, there's a certain disharmony with the sort of hospital-based report that this is sourced off of from the MDS, is my understanding of what's...
Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know how hospitals report, but evidently they don't. I know they don't use the MDS, and I know what's on the MDS, and I know what's going to be on the MDS 3.0. And I don't even know whether CMS is going to want us to be submitting data from another source in order to report it. So I think there are a variety of reasons that this isn't going to work. I mean, to me, it brings up the whole issue of whether we just need to go back and rethink the best way of finding a measure that reflects the quality of attempts to reduce falls in facilities. And I think we're identifying some gaps in scientific knowledge and validity of these measures that I'm not sure we're able to answer today. But I don't think this measure as written is going to work at all. I understand the motivation behind it and the rationale, but given the way nursing homes collect and report information on falls and injuries, this is I think this is logistically impossible. That doesn't mean it's not a very important measure, but I don't think we've really come up with an ideal way of reporting a quality measure on falls based on the two proposed measures so far.
So what it sounds, I'm sorry, did someone?
I was just going to say, I think this is an important lesson in terms of harmonizing with acute care. I'm constantly working with acute and long-term care to bring them together, and language is just so key in everything we do. And the next one that Alice and I will be going over, just getting through the language of it was a challenge because it didn't sort of fit in my head. So I think that the process of getting nursing homes and acute care together, you know, from the beginning is real important in terms of really looking at, you know, a solid proposal. Appreciate the effort.
Yeah, I think the intentions are good, and I think it's an important topic, we all agree. I think this, as a measure, as it's written, is too broad because they have hospice, long-term acute care hospital, nursing home, skilled nursing facility, rehabilitation facility. And I think, and as we are hearing, the transportability of these measures, the tools from one site to another may not work. And that's the difficulty we face right now.
So it sounds like on the face of it, when you just read the title or of the measure, it sounds great. But when you actually look at how it's measured and what the data sources are to measure it, it doesn't fit to long-term care. It's a square peg going in a round hole, vice versa. So on that alone, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of enthusiasm for this measure. Are we ready to vote on the measure as proposed?
Do we need to get the C's and the N's and all that stuff from the two folks?
Yep. Yes.
Or are they already on the record?
I didn't. I got them.
Did you guys submit? Did the reviewers?
No, I don't think they did.
Turn off their mic, someone. Oh, did the reviewers already turn in their stuff to NQF with their ratings?
Yes, we have.
Then we have them on record, so right. We don't have to go through them. Right. Unless anyone would like to go through them, would you like to go through and vote them on them all?
Just have them summarize what it is.
Well, you know, for the scientific... I think it's all partial. And minimal. Sorry for the research and scientific, and minimal for usability, and also for feasibility, it was partial.
Thank you. And similar?
I think he's being polite. Importance, I think it's completely. Scientific acceptability, I think it's partial because it hasn't been tested in long-term care facilities. But usability and feasibility, I'm debating between minimally and not at all.
Okay.
But I'm leaning towards not at all just because of the data sources.
Right, thank you. So we've now heard the reviewers' recommendations. I think we're probably ready for a vote right now. And this is a time-limited measure. So based on it being a time-limited measure, are we would be voting to let's see, how do we do this? Should we do it in the...
Do you want to do time limit or do you want to vote to kill it?
Well, you can kill it in time limited, too.
Either way to do it.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about... Okay, so all those in favor of the measure, raise your hand. All those not, raise your hand. All those abstaining. Okay. So this measure does not pass our muster.
It doesn't pass muster at this time. We encourage the developers to work and think about how to harmonize with MDS and come back. There clearly is an interest in looking at that.
Thank you. Okay, we have...
Want to take a break? We have Rand calling back in at 4:45. It's 4:32. Do you want to do the other fall or the other restraint? When Rand calls back in, we're going to have to take him. We already kicked him out once.
Well, we have 004, which is the ANA is also proposing that one, the fall patient fall rate.
And I would say, as primary on that one, the issues are
identical.
Identical to the previous measure, so right. We might be able to move through it rather
quickly.
Okay.
I was thinking, yeah.
Let's do 004. God, you guys are a hungry appetite.
Well, a lot of the information that was said previously related to the introduction and importance has already been stated. And Nancy, is there anything else that you want to add related to the importance of measuring overall patient falls?
No, other than I think that capturing through the MDS or wherever, capturing the total fall rate is important, not just the injury fall rate.
Alice Bell, and as the primary reviewer, I would agree that it's important, but we struggle with the same issues in terms of definition, data capture, the tools that would be used, and the fact that they are incompatible with long-term care at this point. And also, we kind of went back and forth a little bit in this measure between looking at fall rate and also some reference to looking at fall risk assessment and intervention, and it wasn't clear to me exactly, although fall rate was the focus, some of the assessment were based on other criteria. But most pointedly, the issue is in and around feasibility and usability with different tools to measure the data.
Any other comments? Go ahead.
As a secondary reviewer, I concur with Alice. I don't think anything more needs to be said. I think, obviously, this information across settings has incredible value. I encourage you to keep on plugging away to harmonize this. And in terms of its, obviously, usability to bring together your performance improvement strategies that you laid out, I thought that was nicely done and again, could bring such strong value. I guess the other thing I'd mention is that the through the feasibility, it spoke to the electronic medical record. You know, certainly acute care is far more advanced in that vein as well, so I'd hope you consider that as well.
Okay. Any other comments about this measure? Okay. Are we ready for a vote? Okay, so all those in favor of endorsing this time-limited measure, 004, all those not, raise your hand. Abstain? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Now it's a break, right?
Yeah, why don't we take a 10-minute break at 4:45, be back promptly, 10 minutes. Okay, we got Rand coming on the line shortly. They just texted me back.
You have Neil here.
Yeah. All right. Neil, are you on the phone?
I am, and probably Carol Roth as well.
Yes. Hold just a second, Neil. I got to get people sitting down and everything. All right, we have Rand on the phone, guys. Come on. Neil's on the phone. You can flash the lights in the hallway. Make them come on in.
Thanks for having us.
Neil, I always wanted to tell my chief resident that they had to wait. Okay. All right. Neil, 003 on physical therapy assistance device for the New Balance. You've got 20 people around the table here eager to hear why we should approve this measure.
Wonderful. Thank you. So this is a process of care measure, which I think is sort of different than most of the measures that you've been looking at today. And it's predicated upon a large body of evidence that shows that people at risk of falling can have that risk minimized through intervention. The body of evidence on this usually looks at multimodal interventions, which are not measurable through most means of collecting data. This focuses on two of the most common components of those interventions that are physical therapy and exercise and use of assistive devices. This is a composite measure that uses data from MDS together with administrative data, both of which are generally available and can be combined. The demonstration that someone should be in the denominator for this measure is that they have a new or worsening balance problem based on serial MDS measures. Therefore, one needs at least two quarterly serial MDS measures to qualify for this measure. The numerator is based on either MDS or claims data demonstrating that there was physical therapy ordered or that a new assistive device was initiated. We have demonstrated that this measure can be implemented in a large cohort of about half of the high-risk dual eligibles in California. And the published data show that the combination of MDS with administrative data is feasible. And indeed, the pass rate is relatively low, with about a third passing. This measure itself has not been directly linked to clinical outcomes of decreased falls or decreased injuries. However, this measure, when measured by chart review, combined with a series of other companion measures from the ACOV set aimed at falls, does demonstrate that improved quality in the outpatient setting is directly related to a decrease in the Tinetti Fear of Falling scale over a one-year study period. I think I'll stop there and listen for conversation.
Okay. Who is the primary reviewer? Yeah, Alice?
Alice Bell. I had a couple of issues. First of all, I think it is very important, and there's a lot of excellent things in this measure. My concerns relate to treating physical therapy intervention and the issuance of an assistive device as being equal interventions. Because in reality, the issuance of an assistive device without proper training, fitting, and assuring that it's the appropriate device actually creates increased risk for falls. So they are not like interventions, and that's one issue. So I would look to look at perhaps just the referral, just the provision of physical therapy services, and not the provision of an assistive device as a separate and equal intervention strategy. The second issue that I had was the exclusion of patients with severe dementia, given that dementia is a risk factor for falls, and that I believe intervention strategies are demonstrated through the evidence that patients even with severe dementia can have their fall risk managed, and particularly when we're looking at a new or worsening balance problem, and you're looking at consecutive MDS quarterly assessments, even those patients with severe dementia who present now with a new or worsening balance problem, I think it is indicated to provide the intervention and attempt to remediate that worsening condition, which may or may not be related to their dementia. So those are the two issues. I would say that in terms of importance, as I said, I rate it as complete. In the other areas, I rate it as partial simply because of that treating an assistive device as the same value as therapy intervention and the exclusion of patients with dementia, with severe dementia.
And how usability and feasibility?
Partial also for those same reasons.
Okay.
Let me change that. Usability complete, because I do think access to the data elements is fine. I think it's easy to capture what we're looking to capture here. But feasibility based on the equal measure of an assistive device, I think is problematic. Partial. So.
Before I turn to Neil to comment on that, the secondary reviewer?
Arvind Madawal, I agree with what Alice has said. You know, they are basically two things, and it's too broad, and combining them may not be the right way, because the issues of compliance with the assistive devices, and also it may be a part of a nursing interventions as well, if they have had the physical therapy intervention already in place. So Certainly, it's, I think half of it really looks good, you know, is a physical therapy, if it can be modified, physical therapy with a New Balance problem makes sense. So otherwise, in terms of scientific validity and usability, facility, it'll be all partial for me.
So Neil, you want to comment on the why you guys thought PT and assistant devices should be together in the numerator?
I think that those are good points, although I had a difficult time hearing the second speaker. But let me address the first two points. I don't think that we have good evidence at this point how to allocate or apportion which interventions work best for patients with falls. And in fact, the real way to do this, which I think is beyond the current scope of measurement, is to identify different types of patients with different types of lesions and to direct the intervention specifically to the type of patient. But given that we're attempting to develop a measure, such specificity, at least in today's world, I think is beyond us. I think it's a good point that not everyone will benefit from assistive devices. I think the same is true for physical therapy. It wouldn't be impossible to actually report this measure dividing up the numerator into assistive device or physical therapy or both, if the panel felt that that would be more valuable. Certainly, these are separate components that can be easily constructed. When we developed this measure with our expert panels, they included both physical therapy and assistive devices for different types of falls problems. To address the second issue, we explicitly convened a panel to consider advanced dementia with specific quality measures. Let me note that this is only advanced dementia that we are excluding here, not all dementia. And it doesn't mean that undertaking these interventions would be a mistake with someone with advanced dementia, but it does mean that there are many patients with advanced dementia, at least in the view of our expert panel, that would not be able to adequately benefit from either an assistive device or physical therapy, and therefore they didn't feel that it stood as a quality measure to require using these interventions for a patient with advanced dementia.
Neil, how do you define advanced dementia?
It's defined based on the algorithm that we listed, which is taken from several variables within MDS. This is a validated algorithm developed by others. I can look it up for you here.
Yeah. Is it? It's a CPS?
It's based on a number of different MDS criteria.
Okay.
Combined results.
On the tool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Alice, can I go ahead?
Sure. I think two points. One is the distinction I'm making is, I think if you said physical therapy and an assistive device, or physical therapy with or without the use of an assistive device, that would be one thing. But when you look at simply the provision of an assistive device to a patient, not knowing who provided the device, what criteria was used for determining what device, whether any training in the use of the device was provided, and whether the device was even fitted to the patient, that's a much lesser level of intervention. So that's the issue I have, is to say physical therapy or an assistive device being equal interventions. If you wanted to compare those two, you could look at physical therapy with or without the issuance of an assistive device and the issuance of an assistive device independent of therapy. I think that would be interesting to see, but combining them, I don't think makes the measure meaningful. I understand your statement about the distinction of severe or advanced dementia, but again, I would say that the literature does indicate that even patients with advanced or severe dementia, depending on the presenting problem that's resulting in their balance deficits, one of which might be the issuance of an inappropriate assistive device, may in fact benefit from therapy intervention and may in fact see a reduction in fall risk.
Neil?
I certainly understand what is being said. I guess I don't have the literature at my fingertips concerning what proportion of patients with advanced dementia would not benefit, and therefore the measure would be inappropriate for them. When we posed this exact question to our group of experts, they felt that patients with advanced dementia should be excluded. Perhaps someone can shed some light by presenting some literature to show that a preponderance of patients with advanced dementia would benefit from these interventions. And we can also search for that.
This is Bob Zorowitz. I'm just wondering whether it's going to be the elements to define advanced dementia or poor prognosis are based on MDS 2.0. Is that correct?
They are currently. They would be redeveloped based on 3.0.
So this is just a procedural question, I guess. If we were to decide to endorse this measure, would that be conditional on it being changed to reflect MDS 3.0?
Yes.
Right. And actually, your conditional recommendations, we would want to have the measure developer take care of before it goes farther for even voting. So I, from what I'm understanding, 3.0 is advanced enough that they could identify the elements now. Is that correct?
I believe so. I mean, it's in a final enough form that it could, but I don't know whether the I don't know how well validated the data elements together are in order to because 2.0 has been worked over pretty well over the years, so I don't know about 3.0.
Yeah, but not many of the items from 2.0 are just carrying over into 3.0 with some changes. Yeah.
But there's the BIMS
the new stuff. Yeah.
There's the brief interview of mental state in the 3.0.
We have already looked at the elements in 3.0 to correspond to the basic elements within this measure, but we have not yet looked at that specific scale, which was actually developed elsewhere. We can do that.
Now, I actually have looked at the elements, and many of them are unchanged. There's, I think, one where there's a very minor change, and probably it's in the physical functioning item where there are more response categories that would have to be taken into consideration. And I think the poor prognosis item actually has been improved from what it was in 2.0. So some of it is unchanged, and some of it, there are some changes.
Getting back to the issue with the assisted device, I mean, in my facility, in my experience, an assisted device is rarely given out without accompanying physical therapy anyway. When you developed this, was there discussion of any data on how often an assistive device, such as a cane or a walker, is distributed without some sort of instruction? I mean, in other words, are these always... obviously, physical therapy often includes giving an assistive device, but I don't know how often giving an assistive device excludes physical therapy.
Right. So we measure those two things separately. The expert panel that included assistive device as satisfying the measure did have a discussion concerning